Welcome to the Lunch Break Hymn Sing, a podcast dedicated to the rediscovery of hymns both ancient and modern, and the authors who penned them. We're glad you decided to spend your lunch break with us. We pray that you are encouraged by the content of each episode, and we hope that you share this podcast with your friends and family. And be sure to leave us a 5-star review. Now, let's dig into today's episode. All right, by now you got a notification that the Lunch Break Hymn Sing has a new episode available. And you are right, we are back after a year and 8 or 9 months off. Here we are bringing you a new episode. We're thankful that you've decided to join us today. If you're new here, my name is Frank Aiken. I'm your host, and I am joined by Nathan Heston. Nathan is our musician. He arranges a lot of the hymns that we'll be singing throughout the show. Now, the format is going to change up just a little bit. If you're familiar with us, you'll know that each week we go and we will talk about a hymn, we'll talk about the hymn writer, and then we'll sing that hymn at the end. And what we're going to be doing for at least the next little bit is we're going to be focusing on a hymn a month. So each month, we're going to be discussing one of your favorite hymns along with your favorite hymn writer. This month, we're going to be talking about the hymn, And Can It Be? And I'm going to be joined by my friend Ben Ressler. Ben is the associate pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church out in Concord. And he joins us. We're going to be talking about each verse of that hymn for the month of October. Again, we're thankful that you've joined us. We hope that you enjoy the content of each of these episodes. We hope that it edifies you and it helps you with your personal and your family worship. And if you like us, please, again, make sure that you share this episode or this podcast with your friends and family. Now, that's enough talking. Let's go ahead and get into today's episode. And welcome to another episode of the Lunch Break Hymn Sing. My name is Frank Aiken. I am your host, and I am joined today by my good friend Ben Ressler. Ben is the associate pastor at Providence PCA Church out in Concord. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Frank, for having me.
Oh, yeah. Excited to have you on the show today and really all month long to talk about one of our favorite hymns, And Can It Be? I guess before we get started, Ben, why don't you tell us, you know, a little bit about you and your background?
Yeah, so I'm actually relatively freshly ordained just before COVID in 2020. In fact, my ordination service, if you remember, I think you were there, service was the last service we had until COVID hit and shut us down for a long while. So everybody talks about me breaking the system. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that I'm on the show today, but we'll see. I've been enjoying pastoring over at Providence, and the things that I like to do there, the things that I'm hired to do there are worship and youth. I get to preach pretty often, wear many hats like most pastors, but really, really enjoy the worship side of things, learning new songs, learning a lot of old songs, actually, out of the Trinity hymn book. And that's a little bit.
Yeah. So now I remember that ordination service, and you're right. Yeah, the last one before COVID hit. It was good to be a part of that that with you. So, as far as learning hymns out of the hymn book, what's your favorite hymn? It doesn't actually have to be an ancient hymn. It could be something modern. It could be a modern worship song too.
Yeah, I'm going to list just a couple. I actually am thinking of a few. The first is, and all of these. Well, let me list them, and you'll hear what I have to say. So the oldest one that I have on the list is How Sweet and Awful Is This Place. Mm. Never grew up with it. Don't know it really until about maybe about a year ago. We did it at Presbytery and just floored me.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful, wonderful song. Love the melody, but the words to the song, especially for a communion service, are just beautiful. Very worshipful. One of my all-time standing favorite songs is Christ Alone, and that's kind of the middle of the road. It's not really new anymore, but it's also not ancient. Always go back to Christ Alone. And then one of the newer songs that I've really enjoyed, which again isn't really new, but A City of Lights song, Yet Not I, But Christ Through Me. Mm-hmm. Love that tune so much. And again, a lot of these, all three of those, and we're going to get to And Can It Be, just really focus on just the love and grace of God. And I'm a sucker for that. So songs that really focus on God and His grace, and His merit, not ours. Boy, I'm just attracted to those songs.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds us just how much, how unworthy we are, but how much He loves us anyway to bring us to Himself. You know, In Christ Alone is going to be 25 years in 2026.
Yeah.
And when you talk about some of the hymns that we sing that are hundreds of years old, and that one's 25 years old, I really believe that one's going to really stand the test of time. It already has, to where, you know, 100 years from now, you know, our ancestors will be singing that hymn, and so it's pretty neat to, you know, I think. And then you mentioned also City of Light, so there's a lot of modern hymn writers today that are writing some really good songs that the church needs to be singing. I mean, we should be singing the older hymns, but we need to be singing these new songs, and so it's really exciting to, as they say, what a time to be alive.
Oh yeah, totally agree.
Almost feel like we're living in the 18th century with some of these other hymn writers, much like the one that we're going to talk about today, or the hymn And Can It Be. So that comes from Charles Wesley, and Charles was born on December the 18th of 1707 in Epworth, Lincolnshire, and he was an English Anglican minister, and he was also a passionate leader of the Methodist movement.
Yeah. Yeah, I think graduated from Oxford, was it?
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there with his brother John Wesley.
That's right.
And also, of course, a prolific hymn writer. And one of the hymn that we're going to talk about today is And Can It Be? And when we look at that hymn, I think it's just good. There was originally six verses to that. We're actually going to take a look at four of them throughout the month. And so I want to just start with, let's start with the first verse of And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in My Savior's Blood. He died for me who caused His pain, for me who Him to death pursued. And then there's a refrain, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
What's interesting about this first verse is when you understand a little bit of the history behind his life and how he grew up in a Christian home, and even his watching his dad do this stuff professionally or vocationally, he thinks for most of his life that he has a relationship with Christ and that he's saved and that he gets it. And then he makes this trip to America. He's down in Georgia, and at least from his perspective, for the first time, understands the gospel and this idea that Christ's righteousness is his for no merit of his own. And he's with a good friend. I actually forget his friend's name. But they get talking about his life of good works that he thinks that he's accomplished over all these years. And in that moment, he thinks this whole treasure chest of works that I've been preparing to present to the Lord is completely worthless. All this stuff. He asks his friend, so everything I've done is worthless compared to what Christ has done? I can throw it all away. And his friend, I can just picture his friend smiling and saying, yeah, you can chuck it all. It's all worthless. And so he's wrestling with this idea of this refrain, this amazing grace, and this transition transaction between Christ and what he has offered, and the fact that everything that Charles has been living up to this point, what he's been living for, is worthless. And so he just has to give it all up
Yeah.
for Christ's Christ's work on the cross.
Yeah, so then he starts out with, you know, asking the question, and can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? And it actually pulls from Ephesians, a couple of verses. So Ephesians 1:7, so it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And then and then further down in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory.
Yeah, there's really this idea of, well, in 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, this, again, through Christ's finished work, this uniting of rebellious, sinful nature that Christ just wipes away, totally wipes away, forgives. And of course, before that, God's wrath, his whole wrath is poured out on that. There's anger there. God turns all that aside, or Christ turns all that aside.
I think as we look at the next line, and Wesley is really wrestling with his sin, what he is, you know, what he's really done in his life. I mean, you know, nothing that he's done on his own merit could bring him to Christ. So then he asks this question of, you know, died he for me? He died for me? I'm the one that actually put him on the cross. But it's me that he died for. And so he's making this really personal. And that comes from, and then I think of Galatians 2, chapter 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Mm. Yeah, again, that transaction. What an amazing transaction, too. And I would bet to say, if he's anything like me, or more importantly, I guess, if I'm anything like him, the more years that you have to try to grasp, the more you just get confused, and the more you're just in awe of the fact. Because I think you learn, of course, the longer you live, the more you realize just what a sinner you are.
Yeah.
And the muck, the mire that you can't seem to get out of yourself. And so it's amazing that Christ is the one that, yes, died, but then the fact that every day he gives us himself in order to live. It's just pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, then it has us asking the question of which Wesley asks in the next line of, you know, for me, he pursued me through his death. I mean, it was, you know, by his death that our sin was destroyed. And then, you know, of course, by, you know, the fact that He raises from the dead to newness of life, and this is where he pursues us even unto his death. And it took that for us to be reconciled with God.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes that word pursue, we hear that often in modern songs, and sometimes it rubs me the wrong way because I get this sense that somehow we can get away from him.
Yeah.
You know, you just get that picture of playing tag when you were young, and as long as you're faster than the guy who's it, you're safe. But that's just not the way the Bible teaches that things really are. When God pursues you, when he draws you, you're his. You belong to him. And that's a really comforting truth, I think.
It is. Well, you know, and even, I mean, you know, you look at Acts chapter 9, 4 and 5, where we're talking about Saul's conversion. He says, "And I fell to the earth, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why have you persecuted me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he acknowledges that he's Lord, and the Lord says, I am Jesus, whom you have persecuted. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Mm. And it's like, so yeah, here we have, you know, Saul, who was openly persecuting, killing Christians. And here we have Christ that pursued him and turned his life around, and he started doing his work. So the verse, and it's a refrain, I guess, is, you know, I think after saying all this, it's all we can do now is just, we can say, or not all we can do, but just marvel at this amazing love. Mm. You know, like, how can it be that thou, and I like how he says, my God shouldst die for me. And I know later on we'll probably talk about how he found, one of the Moravians gave him Luther's commentary on Galatians. And he, Luther, especially in, you know, chapter 2 of Galatians, really likes to, you know, personalize, those pronouns towards the Lord. And here Wesley is grabbing a hold of that to say, it's my God should die for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. There's also that neat paradox there that you bring out, that how does God die?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, of course, he was fully God and fully man at the same time. And it really is. The more you learn, the more you read, the more you try to understand this, the more you really just come to the conclusion that it is a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
How our God could die for us.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And we'll actually get in next week. We'll actually talk about we'll talk about it in verse 2, how he left his father's throne above, and put on our flesh and lived the life that we couldn't live here on earth. So what we're going to do now to end this, we're going to actually, so at the end of each week, we're going to play a different version of the hymn. Some will be contemporary, so if you're a traditionalist, you might not like that, but we'll also play some traditional as well. And this week what we're going to do is we're actually going to play Stuart Townsend's version of And Can It Be? And he played this at a conference several years back on an acoustic guitar, and it's a men's conference, and you hear, it's amazing just to hear all these men sing out. You know, one of the, I think, you know, it was said that the two sounds that are amazing to hear in church are babies crying and men singing.
I like that.
Yeah. So we'll be back with you folks next week. And until then,
we'll see you.
We'll see you later, and enjoy your lunch break.
Sing with me, And Can It Be?
And can it be that I should gain? long.